This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Total Confidence Pricing is going on right now at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, and if you don't love it, you can return it. Pre-owned inventory is low, and they're giving top dollar for trade-ins, or they'll buy your vehicle from you, only until September 4th at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community since 1946. Tax, title, license, and dealer fees extra. Go to ChevyConfidence.com for full details and restrictions. Purchase a 2012 vehicle by September 4th. Not available with some other offers. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone Tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment. Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone Tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
And first of all, in our farm news on this Wednesday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, September wheat trading at 893.5, down 7. December wheat trading at 915.25, down 6.75. September corn now trading at 827.75, down 3.5. December corn trading at 835.5, down 3.25. September beans trading at 1745, down 8.5. November beans trading at 1721.25. That's down 11.75. The overnight crude oil market, 14 cents lower at 96.70. The Brent crude, 59 cents lower at 114.05. The December gold contract, $1.30 higher at 1644.20. The U.S. dollar index, 0.015 lower at 81.894. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, September wheat closed at $9.50. That was up 21. December wheat closed at 9.22, up 19.25. March wheat closed at 9.30. That was up 17.75. September corn yesterday closed at 8.31.25, up 16. December corn closed at 8.38.75, up 15. March corn closed at 837.75, up 13.75. September soybeans yesterday closed at 1753.5, up 49.75. November beans closed at 1732.5, up 49. January beans closed at 1720.5, up 46.75. September soybean meal yesterday closed at 543.60, up 110. October meal closed at 532.50, up 111. December meal closed at 524.50, up 117. September soybean oil yesterday closed at 55.57, up 168. October oil closed at 55.77, up 167. December oil closed at 56.22, up 169. September oats yesterday closed at 396.75, up 8.25. December oats closed at 397, up 8.25. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Tuesday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture. The Illinois country grain prices were sharply higher on Tuesday afternoon, especially soybeans. Soybean futures were driven higher due to the sharply higher soybean product values and good export demand. Northern Western Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bids 13 to 18 higher at 821 to 838. Soybeans were 46 to 47 higher at 1557 to 1771. Central Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bids 18 to 21 higher at 836 to 862. Soybeans were up 46 cents at 1770 to 1793. Corn bids in Southern Illinois were 14 to 15 cents higher at 846 to 868. Soybeans up 49 at 1758 to 1784. Wheat bids were up 21 cents at 864 to 892. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 16 to 18 cents higher at 817 to 825. Soybeans ended 49 to 53 cents higher, breaking that $18 barrier at 1787 to 1802. New crop wheat prices were 13 higher at were 7 cents higher at 811 to 820. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 18 cents higher at 816 to 826. These elevators raised their soybean prices 52 to 54 cents with quotations at 1783 to 1784. Wheat closed 21 cents higher at 885 to 886. Milo was 15 cents higher at 743 to 744. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivery in northern and western Illinois on corn had a range of 803 to 834, soybeans 1698 to 1720. Central Illinois corn contracts were written at 825 to 851 with the soybeans 708 to 728. In southern Illinois, contract bids for new crop delivery on corn 820 to 864, soybeans 708 or 1708 to 1738. And July 13 wheat at 801 to 831. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, October hogs closed at 75.80, down a dime. December hogs closed at 73.05, down 55. February hogs closed at 80.95, down 15. August cattle yesterday closed at 119.65, down 170. October cattle closed at 124.62, down 85. December cattle closed at 128.17, down 55. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 139.80, down 75. September feeders closed at 141.12, down 167. October feeders closed at 142.40, down 165. Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for dairy products. Butter ended at 180 unchanged. Block cheese 183 and three quarter, down a quarter. Barrel cheese 180 and a half unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending on Monday, 1905. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for August 852. For September, 828. Corn delivered to Scottville for August, 844. And for September, 828. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for August, 1760. And for September, 1723. Wheat delivered to Scottville for August, 850. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again. Corn at Greenfield, 852. Corn at Scottville, 844. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, 1760. Wheat at Scottville, 850. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service Crop Specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company Crop Specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Our local weather forecast for today, sunny skies, the high about 90 with light and variable winds. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the low 60s. And for tomorrow, Thursday, sunny skies, the high in the low 90s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Monday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower on Sunday. Low temperatures in the mid to the upper 60s, high temperatures in the upper 80s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure is steady, mostly clear skies, 53 degrees on this Wednesday morning, and over the past 24 hours here at the Weather Center, a tenth of an inch of rain. This check of color radar weather brought to you at this time by the M&M Service Company. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. First of all, in our farm news today, producers need to be thinking about the upcoming crop insurance deadline. With more, we'll join Shanika Reinicke.
Producers of winter wheat, barley, oats, and other fall-planted crops are approaching not only the deadline for signing up for crop insurance, but also the deadline for making changes to existing policies. For most parts of the country, that date is September 30th. Making changes may be on the minds of many producers as they view the damage done to their spring-planted crops by this year's drought. Anyone contemplating filing a crop insurance claim should observe some basic rules. Report damage promptly, within 72 hours of discovery of damage, 15 days before harvest begins if loss is possible, and within 15 days after harvesting is completed by insurance unit, but no later than the end of the insurance period. Do not destroy evidence that is needed to support your claim without clear direction from the insurance company, preferably in writing. And while you're doing all that, don't forget the deadline for making any changes to your fall-planted crop insurance policies. I'm Shanika Reinicke reporting.
On Tuesday, we talked to Fillmore area producer Mark Nodal as part of the Farmer Check series, and he said they have started to shell corn.
Yeah, we've shelled probably about 150 acres or a little better than that, and kind of what we expected and stuff. We was hoping maybe some of these earlier fields that we planted there in March and stuff would be a shade better than they were, but we're around the 50 to 60 bushel mark is about all the better we are.
Have you been able to catch a couple of rains here recently?
Yeah, we've picked some rains up, and that's really going to help our beans out, I think. They was pretty flat in the pods, and the pods were aborting there before we got them showers, and now there's beans in them pods, and I don't think they're going to be fantastic, but I think we are going to have a bean crop to harvest a lot better than our corn.
Now, when do you think you'll be able to start on cutting beans?
I would say we've got some that are some 3-5 maturities that are starting to turn now, but I would say we're a good 2 to 3 weeks off yet, probably every bit of 3 weeks off.
So, as you said, those rains were really timely for the beans, weren't they?
Yeah, they was just kind of what the doctor ordered and stuff. I know some of them are still short, but some of them late fours did kind of take off and grow again and put a few more pods on. But I think there was some still damage done on them, but I think we're looking a lot better than we was if we wouldn't have got these showers.
Have you been able to cut hay and that sort of thing too?
We just actually did some sedan grass that we mowed here this weekend, and we wrapped it, and that was growing like it should have. Usually that'll take off like gangbusters, but once we get them showers and sun going on them, it really grew good, and we got actually a pretty nice cutting of hay off of that. And hopefully if we get some more showers and some heat and put some nitrogen back on that, we'll get another cutting off of that, and that'll kind of help us out for the winter.
The nitrogen you apply to that, in what form does that come? Is that like a granular or a liquid?
Yeah, it's granular. You can put it on as a liquid if you get it on early enough, so you get a little burn stuff. But usually it's just urea and stuff that we put on there, and you'd like to get a shower on there so it can get into the ground so before it volatilizes.
You said that sedan grass. Is there any other forage sowed in there too?
That's all we use is sedan grass. I know there's some other guys that have used teff grass and pearl millet and things like that, but we usually will put our sedan grass in after our wheat crop, and got it in early this year, but the showers didn't come, so it took a little bit longer. Instead, we actually probably should have got a cutting already off of it, but if we get two cuttings off of that, we'll be in great shape. So,
did you catch a rain this morning?
just a little bit of shower, just enough to kind of get the pavement wet and everything like that. And we kind of got one of them yesterday to about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So just enough kind of to stop us from shelling corn. It just got wet enough for that. But it'll slow us down a little bit this morning. But we'll be going at it this afternoon as long as we don't get any more rain.
And that was Fillmore area producer Mark Nodal. We talked to him Tuesday morning, and we thank him for taking the time to talk with us on WSMI Radio. The much-anticipated Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour presented by DuPont Pioneer began Monday. Many are saying this year's trek may be the most interesting one ever, considering the challenging growing season the Midwest has faced this year. The eastern leg of the tour started Monday in Columbus, Ohio, and will make its way through Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and end in Minnesota tomorrow, Thursday. Brian Grady will lead the group traveling westward, and he says the word he expects will come up this week more than any other is variability.
Variability is out there. A lot of people want to see if it's as bad as what it's been advertised. Obviously, the drought conditions have been severe this year, the worst since 1988. Some say the worst since 1936. But, you know, that's what we're hearing, and we'll have to see as we get out there. We're going to see a wide range in terms of within the fields and from field to field. And we're also going to see some harvesting, which has already been done, some which is going on as we move through, and some which is not too far down in the future.
Not only will curious farmers, agronomists, and other industry types be paying close attention to the data coming from the tour, the market will take note as well.
The Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour has gotten a lot of recognition over the years. We're widely regarded as the top surveying of the crop aside from what USDA does. We can't rival what USDA does. We have different procedures and things like that, but we have 20 years now of history after this year to fall back on, and we rely heavily on our scouts. They do a tremendous amount of work. It's 4 days of hard work, starting early in the morning and going into late into the evenings, and the market does pay attention.
And that's because the data is reliable, as this tour is held the same week every year. Therefore, the current numbers can be compared to past years and analyzed by traders in Chicago and by economists across the country. On Tuesday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. He mentioned the Pro Farmer Tour going on across the Midwest.
Well, I think the area of focus right now, what we saw yesterday and have already seen this morning, is this Pro Farmer Tour that's underway. A lot of the pre-tour comments that I was hearing Sunday afternoon from some of the people that were going on that, some of the chatter out there was that Iowa looked pretty bad as people got underway, or at least on their way to their destination for this thing, and maybe a few side stops and throughout some of these states. But yesterday, they were through areas of South Dakota and Ohio, and a lot of the pod counts and, of course, yield estimates were rather low. They actually pegged the South Dakota state yield at about 74 bushel to the acre. Currently, the USDA has South Dakota at 98, and that's compared to the three-year average of about 144, so very poor conditions there. For the Ohio corn, the yield estimate was about 110.5. USDA is currently still at 126, and the average over the last 3 years is about 156. So seeing these yields significantly lower doesn't tell us anything we haven't suspected here for quite some time with the heat that we've had and as conditions have remained dry since then. So I haven't seen a lot of beneficial weather, except for the beans. You know, we have gotten a few rains in some areas. The cooler temperatures are going to help as well. But with the sunlight, with that fading fast, these beans are probably going to mature pretty quickly. And that leads us to these pod counts. We've seen bad pod counts in South Dakota tour yesterday. They actually, in a 3x3 area, they counted just under 585 pods. And the three-year average is about twice that, about 1,116. So very bad conditions there. Ohio wasn't quite as bad, but we've got soybeans and soy meal into new all-time highs, and it just seems like we're the only party in town if anyone wants anything from the soy complex.
But, you know, you mentioned the corn yields. It sounded like there was quite a discrepancy between what the Pro Farmer Tour folks came up with and what the USDA has projected.
Well, that's right, and the USDA knows they've got until January to get it right, so they're not going to jump the gun, send the market into a tizzy too early in the year, and see prices go limit up or whatever have you. So they're going to slowly get there. If they think they've got to cut another 15 bushel and they've got five reports to do it, they'll do 3 bushel every time or something to that effect. So we've got a little bit of time, but the fact that the crop is maturing so quickly, we've mentioned a couple times before, is we've got more data at this time in the year than we typically have because things are sped up so rapidly. And I think we're probably going to potentially see some strength in the market today when they go through Nebraska. I was actually out there last week, and it's probably probably not too far of a stretch to say about 20 to 25% of the crop is already out of the field in northeast Nebraska because it's just chopped. And they're going to have a difficulty finding some of these fields to go into, and a lot of this stuff is going to get zeroed out or be counted as unharvestable acres, but that number probably has to drop quite a bit as well.
Do you find out when you were out there that a lot of farmers were doing that instead of shelling the corn, chopping it up for silage?
Absolutely. You know, there's just not enough corn in the field to justify going to get it. And they're scrambling like crazy right now because things are drying down so quickly that at some point it's not going to make sense to even chop it because of the moisture. So they want to get as much moisture in there as possible, and they're just running around like madmen out there. And it's you know, there are some fields out there that you know, there was alfalfa in some of these fields from last year that was taller than some of the corn. Now that's the worst stuff out there, but when there's that much of it out there, you know it's a problem, and you just wonder where this thing's going to have to end up at the end of the day.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. The United States Department of Agriculture has pinched down the supply of soybeans the United States will have available for use in the coming months last week. Todd Gleason files this report on how drought conditions around the nation will force a cutback in the use of soybeans.
The official government estimate of this year's U.S. soybean production was cut back. Illinois ag economist Daryl Good says USDA started by lowering the number of acres to be harvested by some 700,000. It followed the smaller harvested acreage figure with a smaller yield estimate.
Yield estimate came in at 36.1, which is probably at the lower end of what the trade was looking for, and a crop of just under 2.7 billion bushels. That's about 12% smaller than last year's crop. And again, it says we are in a situation where we're going to have fewer soybeans available for use, and we're going to have to make some fairly substantial cuts.
Those cuts have yet to come to the marketplace. By the numbers, USDA says end users are still plowing through the soybean bushels left on hand from last season's harvest. Again, here's University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
For the current year that ends at the end of this month, USDA did raise their forecast of the domestic crush by 15 million and exports by 10 million, so their expectation for September 1 stocks dropped 25 million, which adds to the problem presented by this small crop. And then as we move into next marketing year, USDA is suggesting, these numbers basically say we've got to cut consumption by 400 million bushels next year.
And how does that get done? Well, USDA shows some serious cutbacks.
USDA is looking for the biggest share of the cut to be in the export market, although domestic crush will also have to come down substantially. We'll end the year with very small stocks of corn or soybeans and looking at a season's average price between $15 and $17.
Good says USDA has pushed the soybean supply-demand table just about as tight as it can. That's reflected in the stocks-to-use ratio as a percentage.
That's getting down towards 4% or less, and that's, I think most of us believe you just can't go any lower than that. So this is really a statement of use of what's available, more than a projection of actual demand. It's just saying this is all the beans there are. How are they going to get allocated between the domestic and the export market? And we'll use all we have, but we're limited on the supply.
Very limited on the supply of soybeans available from the United States. It should spur farmers in the southern hemisphere to ramp up their plantings of the crop. That'll begin in the next couple of months. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Some other ag news notes on this Wednesday morning. According to the United States Drought Monitor map released last week, 62% of the United States is still in some level of drought, and 24% is now in extreme or exceptional drought. The core of the drought remains over the Corn Belt due to the extreme heat. So far this year, the corn harvest is about 3 weeks early, with the United States Department of Agriculture reporting 4% is complete compared to about 1% normally at this time. In Kansas, Missouri, and Tennessee, harvest is even further along, with 17% complete in Kansas, 18% in Missouri, and Tennessee. Still, production is expected to be the lowest since 2006, and expected yield averages are lower than anticipated at nearly 123 bushel, after farmers planted 96.4 million acres of corn, the most in the past 75 years. Congress must act quickly to pass a farm bill that protects both farmers and consumers as the ripples of the drought begin to surface. U.S. Department of Agriculture Deputy Secretary Kathleen Merrigan said during a visit to McLean County on Monday. Ms. Merrigan toured two Gridley farms impacted by the drought and assured farmers, ag officials, and others the department is doing everything it can to help. With the Corn Belt in the core of the drought this summer, crops grown in these conditions are more vulnerable to mold growth and mycotoxins, which are dangerous to livestock, especially swine. South Dakota State University Extension swine specialist Bob Taylor says this year's crop will be poorer quality than normal and may be contaminated with molds. He encourages hog producers to begin preparing today and conserving the remaining high-quality 2011 corn crop for sows and nursery pigs. There are three specific molds. Taylor says hog producers should test for aflatoxin, vomitoxin, and xerulinin. The level and type of mycotoxins found in a cornfield can vary greatly, so Taylor encourages producers to take a variety of samples from each section of the field and combine them into one sample for testing. If producers have any questions after testing, he suggests they talk with their nutritionist or extension specialist. And for more information and a list of testing labs, you can go to www.igrow.org. Coming up later today, we'll have commodity market updates on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Right now, an electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat trading at 8.93. That is down 7.5. December wheat trading at 9.14.5, down 7.5. September corn now trading at 8.26.5, down 4.75. December corn trading at 8.34.25, down 4.5. September soybeans now trading at 17.40.75. That is down 12.75. November beans now trading at 17.17.75, down 14.75. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.